The immune system has the inherent ability to recognize and destroy cancer cells. But however, it more or less becomes a little bit sleepy at times, and immunotherapy is kind of waking up the immune system to become active and to destroy the cancer cells.
The most important thing to recognize is that immune therapy is not chemotherapy. So unlike chemotherapy that actually targets the tumor cell itself, immune therapy is actually targeting your own body to make it work better. So you're basically taking advantage of intrinsic traits of the immune system and making it work better.
One of my friends once said that the difference is that this is a living therapy, which has always resonated with me because it's alive and well and can react against the cancer a number of times, whereas chemotherapy is transient. It can only kill the tumor maybe for a short period of time, but that tumor can grow back. A living therapy is a surveillance.
From the Medical University of South Carolina, it's Science Never Sleeps. A show that explores the science, the people, innovation, and stories behind the scenes of MUSC biomedical research at work. I'm Bobby Connor. On today's show, an introduction to cancer immunotherapy. I invited four top cancer researchers at Hollings Cancer Center to get together to talk about cancer immunotherapy and research in this specialty area. Here around the table with me are Dr. Mark Rubenstein, Dr. David Neske, Dr. Eric Barty, and Dr. Crystal Paulos. My first question for the group is, why is there so much excitement and focus on cancer immunotherapy?
Some of these therapies are now FDA approved, and more people are talking about them, and it's just kind of catching fire.
It's really more than just another drug that's pushing survival back by 3 months. It's really kind of revolutionizing what the potential outcome for some of those diseases can be.
Right now, at this point in time, what types of cancer can be treated with cancer immunotherapy?
There are really two kinds of cancers that have really shown good responses to immunotherapy. One kind of cancer are those that have lots of genetic damage, and those cancers respond because each point of genetic damage is a target of the immune system. But we've also found that when cancers arise in tissues that are not essential for life, for example, B cells, B cell malignancies can be destroyed with immunotherapy. And as a side effect, healthy B cells are also destroyed. But because B cells are not essential for life, the immune system is effective in that type of cancer.
A lot of it started with basically a treatment for a disease that we had no treatments for in the form of melanoma. Outside of some specific inhibitors that showed a response but didn't improve survival, and then all of a sudden immune therapy came along and patients that had 6 months lifespan were now being cured or had lifespans for years and years. And that's really, I think, was sort of the poster child for immune therapy to start. And then they started extrapolating it into the tumors that are very common. Lung cancer, non-small cell lung cancer, and things like that.
As a virologist, I just like to highlight that if you look at how we fight off viruses, our most effective approach is vaccines, and they don't work as drugs. They basically work as letting your own body do what it wants to do naturally. So immunotherapy is kind of applying that same approach to cancer.
I do want to make sure that the listener knows that not everyone responds. So this doesn't work for everybody. But now we're understanding the immune system and now understanding how to combine different elements together that might synergize to make PD-1 therapy much better.
And is that a big part of what the challenge is right now for advancing cancer immunotherapy is impacting more types of cancer and getting results with all types of patients?
As someone who runs a clinical trial currently, one of the main concerns, questions when you're actually enrolling patients in these trials is, you know, it's not going to work for everybody. And you don't have a crystal ball to know who it's going to work for and who it's not. So the ultimate struggle, if you will, is really to try and figure out as quickly as you can who's not going to respond and to try to offer them something that will ultimately allow them to.
I think metastatic melanoma is a good example. 10 years ago, the 5-year survival was about 5 to 10%. today we think five-year survival is about 30 to 40%. So those 30 to 40% of patients that respond to immunotherapy are maybe the easiest patients to treat with immunotherapy. And the challenge today is the remaining 70% of patients that don't have a good initial response. How can we develop new therapies that will be more effective in those patients? And also, how can we identify those patients at the very beginning so we can select them out to give them potentially more aggressive therapies?
Is part of the research underway related to cancer immunotherapy trying to figure out who might have adverse side effects?
Certainly. That's part of a large area of research. The other large area of research is what are the best ways to combat the toxicities without having to stop the treatment.
Where do you think we're headed in the near future with cancer immunotherapy?
The ability to predict who will and won't respond, I think, would be really transformative for the field. I think another thing is, you know, every 6 months you find someone else that's come up with a new pathway, a new mechanism, new drug that activates the immune system. And to some extent, I think we're still building the portfolio of ways to intervene.
Cancer immunotherapy is very exciting today, but I think if we look at it from a broad perspective, we're almost in the Stone Age. It's kind of like we've developed a light bulb and we want to get to where computers and iPhones are. So there's a tremendous opportunity for researchers and clinicians to advance and develop new immunotherapies. So it's a very exciting time where I think it's going to be very transformative in the coming years.
People are now combining chemotherapy with checkpoint modulators, and in some cases, that combination is even more effective.
And that type of therapy revs up the immune system?
It unleashes the T cell's ability to see the tumor.
The analogy that gets used a lot in the field of immunotherapy is driving a car. That if you want the immune system to attack cancer, you have to do three things. You have to turn it on, which is basically pressing the gas pedal. You have to take off all the stop points that would turn the immune system off so that you can keep it on, which would be take your foot off the brake. And then you have to steer it specifically towards the cancer so that it doesn't kill normal tissue.
There are 21 cancer immunologists involved in research at MUSC. These researchers are leveraging their individual expertise and collaborating with the common goal of developing immune-based therapies for the treatment of cancer.
One of the amazing things for being a researcher at MUSC is that we're very co-localized. We all work, have our research laboratories in the same area, and MUSC provides an environment where we have both basic researchers, such as myself, in very close proximity with physician scientists. So we each gain the perspective of the knowledge that other people have that we wouldn't normally have ourselves. And by putting our ideas together, I think there's a lot of synergy between different investigators.
For me to talk about my work and then Eric sees some interesting aspect to it or says, did you think about it this way? It can sometimes open up in a completely different avenue of research. And I think all of us have collaborated and built new concepts together. There's a lot of crosstalk and pollination going on. And I mean, I met Dr. Neske because he wanted to borrow a reagent and I had it and he was doing something I was really interested in and it created a whole new exciting relationship. And that's just one example of many.
I've been lucky enough to train at some pretty prestigious places, and I can say that the focus of the research, the end game being improving the quality of lives of the patients we're taking care of, that's the end game of not only the clinicians, but also of the researchers that are working here.
On today's show, we've heard about cancer immunotherapy from the following researchers at Hollings Cancer Center at MUSC: Dr. Mark Rubenstein, Dr. Eric Barty, Dr. Christopoulos, and Dr. David Neske. I'm Bobby Connor with Science Never Sleeps from the Medical University of South Carolina.